You are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is an ever-multiplying church, striving to be ethnically and economically diverse and called to help one another follow Christ in every area of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 20. That's where we are today, Exodus chapter 20. And we've been doing a series on the Ten Commandments. This is the fifth week, so we're on the fifth commandment. That's nothing too exciting, really. It's kind of expected, honestly. But we've been doing this series for a little while. And today, before we really get into it, I want to say something to you about it. Now, there's a chance that while we're talking about this commandment, while we're talking about the fifth commandment, you're going to hear me saying something the whole time that I'm not saying, okay? There's a chance that that's going to happen. So here's what I'm going to ask from you. I'm going to ask that you really pay extra close attention to what it is that I am saying. Because you know how sometimes you can listen casually to somebody talk and you kind of hear what you want to hear? Y'all know, you ever done that before? I've never done that before. Shame on y'all. I don't know. No, for real. We all do that. That's really easy. It could happen really easily today. So do your best to focus in as much as you can. This one is easily misconstrued. Did you know that one of the greatest fears of parents living today, one of the greatest fears of parents is that they will not pass on their values to their children? Parents, can I get an amen? Look, it is terrifying for me to think as a father that my kids one day will not inherit what it is that I'm trying to give them. Not just stuff. Lord knows I'm not going to give my kids a lot of stuff. It's just not going to happen. But I would like for them to think better about life, and I would like for them to have a better understanding about what they're going through. And that scares me. And anybody who's a parent in this room, that scares you as well. You want your children to grow up, hopefully, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You want your children. You want to pass on something to them. You want them to inherit something from you about how you perceive the world. You want to know what one of the greatest fears of children, specifically teens, is? That their parents are going to try to force their beliefs on them. Why is that? Teens, would you agree with that? It's safe. You can nod your head. It's okay. Nobody's going to judge you. It's true. We get into this stage of adolescence, and I remember this. And suddenly, me and my dad just get along way less. Anybody else? Amen, somebody? Listen, just about every man in this room, you hit about 13 years old, maybe sooner, and all of a sudden you realize, man, me and my dad, we're just not getting along that well anymore. How do I deal with this? I don't even know how to approach. Then I moved out of the house. My dad's not here today, thankfully. When I moved out of the house, me and my dad became like best friends again, didn't we? I know that some of y'all have been through this exact experience before. This is life, it seems to be. There's this tension that exists, and there's these two fears that exist at the same time. But how do we alleviate all of them? I would submit to you it's because as especially American Christians today, we've lost a culture of honor. We've lost a culture of honoring those who have come before us, honoring those who are over us in authority, honoring those who've just been down the road longer than we have been down the road. We've lost this. And the Bible today is going to show us, first off, that we need to reclaim it. And I really think it is to a point today where we've lost it. Not we're losing it. Not we're struggling to try to reclaim it. I think that we have very, very little, if any, of this culture of honor anymore. And today we're going to talk about how to find it again and where to reclaim it. It's in Exodus 20, verse 12 is where we are. This is the fifth commandment. We're also going to look at Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. So Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." And if you flip over to Ephesians 6, you don't have to. It'll be up here on the screen. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we need you to teach us here today. There is generation gap after generation gap after gap after gap. And Lord, you desire things like that to not be an obstacle within your church. You desire for us to heed those who have come before us. You desire us to listen and to know and to lean on them. And so, Father, I pray that you would teach us that today. Help us to see what it means to honor our father and mother. Help us to understand more about how it works. God, this is enigmatic. It's strange. It's hard for us to see. God, I need you to help us see it. Father, I pray that you would teach us today. Open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and transform us by the power of your word. Lord, I pray that if it's just my words today, that they would just fall on the floor. I pray for your words today and your power and your strength. Lord, we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at the fifth commandment. We're looking at the fifth commandment. We're going to do three things with it, okay? Three things with the fifth commandment. We're going to talk about what it means. We're going to spend a little bit of time there, not too much. We're also going to talk about why we need to do it. And we'll get onto that a little bit at the very beginning. We'll talk about it some more later on. So what does it mean? Why do we need to do it? And how on earth do we actually accomplish it? What do we do to get it done? So what does it mean? Why do we need to do it? And how do I do it? So let's talk first about what it means. I think we'll do that honestly by talking about what it doesn't mean first, okay? Notice, if you look in Exodus 20, it's a call to what? It's a call to honor, right? And that's such an ambiguous term, isn't it? Like, if I was to say honor, I think some of us would struggle maybe with trying to define exactly what it was. Now, a lot of us grew up in households where your mama taught you manners, right? And so you know what honor means. So we don't need to deal with that too much. But I think for some of us, we might struggle. So let's take a look more carefully at Exodus 20. If you look at Exodus 20, notice it doesn't command love, does it? It doesn't command love. It says honor your father and your mother. Look at Exodus 20 again. It does not command obedience, does it? Notice it doesn't command obedience. Now, there are other passages in the Bible that do, but not here. Remember, we talked about how commandments are more like principles, right? Commandments are more like guidelines. We talked about that with the very first sermon. So we're not talking about love. We're not talking about obedience. We're talking about honor. Why is that? Why would God find it necessary here in the Ten Commandments to talk about not love, not obedience, but honor? Okay, now I need to take a step back to explain that a little bit more. Now, God has given us three institutions on the world, okay? God has given us three separate institutions. He's given us government, as unhappy about that as we may be. He has. He's given us government. And we know that because if we go back to Noah and the boat, whenever Noah steps off the boat, God institutes laws at that point. He's like, don't kill anybody anymore. And when he institutes those laws, he also is instituting a means by which of keeping the law, right? A means by which of enforcing it. God creates government. We saw that happen. We also saw God create the church in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Old Testament with Israel, and the new church, the way church in Acts in the New Testament. Listen. God created government, God created the church, and he also created something else. He created the family. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. It's basically another way of saying spread. Spread out, expand the borders, expand your borders, grow, thrive. And God designed to do this through the family. The family is the oldest and most crucial institution of God. And I think we've forgotten that. I think that we've forgotten that. You see, listen, family is God's boots on the ground method of evangelism, of discipleship, and of reaching the lost. Who do we run to by default? Just think about it for just a second. Who do we run to by default to fix the problems? The government, don't we? We run to the government to fix the problem because we think I'm going to elect the right officials and things are going to be dealt with, right? But God doesn't work that way. God says, no, no, no. My boots on the ground method is the family. crucial, crucial stuff. It's a way that God designed of seeing that the individual person, the one person, is nurtured and cared for and grows. Think about your family. Maybe things that your family lacked, or maybe things that it was. We all know what we needed, right? We intuitively knew as children what we needed. We needed to be cared for. We needed to be loved. Some of us had that and some of us didn't, but the point was we all had the need, and God designed for that need to be met through the mechanism of his families. Not only that, you see that the family is the mechanism through which God designed first to spread the knowledge of God. If you go back to Genesis 2, you saw that it said, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. It's a picture of spreading, of expanding God's kingdom. So the family is not only God's method, his means of personal care, but also of evangelism. His front line, boots on the ground defense. The number one strategy of church growth. You want to know what it is? Babies. Really, it's true. When you spend your time, your life, discipling these children, raising them up, growing them, that they may thrive, that they may love the Lord and fear him. And so God gives a clear command to put this system in place. He says, honor your father and your mother. Think about it. Think about it. What better way for God to create a system, not the perfect system, of course, because we live in a fallen world, but for God to create a system of perpetuating his name other than through the family, through the children, honoring the words of their father and mother, creating a constant and perpetual existence of God, existence of faith in him. Honor your father and mother. Now, let's get back to that question. Why doesn't it say obey? We're going to talk more about this later, but just a question. What if your parents commanded you to evil? That's why it doesn't say obey. Why not love? Why doesn't it say love? Because you can't conjure up affections in your heart, can you? You can't conjure up feelings necessarily, especially if your parents weren't so great. It doesn't say those things. It says honor. Now, we have a temptation also in the idea of honoring our father and our mother. We have it a little bit in South Louisiana, not too much, I don't think, but more so in family dynamics. We have a tendency to over-honor something, just like you can over-love any good thing. Any good thing that you receive from God, any good thing that you get can become a God thing, right? Anything can. And so with our families, it works exactly the same way. We can over-honor. And we'll talk more about that later on, but let's ask the question, why? Look at the second half of that command. So it says, honor honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land. Now, some of us hear this and we think of this like a karma connection, right? We think of this like some weird mystical connection. So if I do this, then everything goes right in my life. But that's not what this means, okay? You ever read the Bible like that? So if I do this, then everything's just happy. But it's more practical than that. It's much more practical than that. If you honor your father and mother, you will live long in the land. Here's what I mean. Your parents have been around the block, haven't they? And I'm talking to everybody that's got parents in this room, okay? Every single person, which is everybody, because, right, you're here. Nobody got created ex nihilo, right? You're here in the room. Listen, your parents have been around the block, haven't they? They've seen life. They've seen the world in front of them. In other words, another way, you just want to sum it up in a certain way, they are wise. I'm not necessarily saying that they're smart, but they are wise. They are wise. They know what's coming. They know what life is. And God says to heed their words. Why? Because it perpetuates. It perpetuates. You don't need to run headfirst into a wall whenever you start your life because your dad said, hey, there's a wall there. Your parents can give you advice. Your parents can tell you things that you haven't seen coming yet because they've been through it, because they've struggled through it, because they've fought through it already, and they don't want that for you. That's why the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Ultimately, it's so that you can hear the good news of God and listen and heed it well and hold to it and trust it. Honor them. Pay attention so that you may live a life in the land. What does in the land mean? For Israel, it meant essentially in the church, in safety and prosperity, right? So for us, it means heed your parents because you're going to be a better person for that. Listen to what they have to say. They will lead you, if they're Christian parents, hopefully to Jesus. And at the very least, they'll lead you away from some pitfalls in your life. You'll grow, you'll thrive, you'll flourish in some circumstances. And it makes perfect sense because we all know what the temptation is in our society, don't we? We all know what the temptation is when it comes to dealing with our parents. First, we think that they don't understand us, right? And this goes for everybody in the room. You don't pass a certain age and now you're like, oh no, I got it. They totally understand me. No, we have this perpetual thing that lies in the back of our heads, which we say, man, my mom and dad just do not get me. I am guilty of this, okay? That's our temptation. So it makes sense that the Bible would say, no, don't be tempted that way. Honor them. We're tempted to think that they're foolish. We're tempted to slough off caring for our parents in their older age. In other words, we're tempted to not honor them. And the Bible says, no. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. And the world tells us something completely different. You know what the world tells parents these days? The world tells parents that you can't care for your children. You don't know how. You can't do it. You don't have it together. You know who you need to trust? Dr. Phil. That's terrifying. That's scary. You know who you need to trust? You can't take care of your children. You know who can take care of your children? The government can take care of your children. You can't do it, though. As somebody who has seen the insides of foster care systems, let me tell you, it's not working. It's not. Or modern-day pop role models. Don't trust your parents. Trust the role models. Yeah, because Beyonce can raise my kids. I don't think so. It blows my mind, honestly, that some of the pop icons today get considered as role models. One of the most recent videos that I've seen from like Beyonce is her walking down the street with a baseball bat, threatening to like get back at her ex-lover or something like that. This is a role model. Come on, man. That's not a role model. In my day, it was like Britney Spears and NSYNC. Clearly, that worked out really well. Worked out really well. It's not role model. Apparently, the only thing you have to do to be a role model is be on television. So don't do that. Listen, the world is saying trust anybody but your parents, isn't it? The world is telling you trust anybody else but your mom and your dad. Trust anybody else than what the institution of God has created for you to heed. Anybody else? Even the modern day sitcoms destroy the culture of honor in the family. You want to know why? Who's mom? Mom in every one of these modern day comedies is a self-obsessed idiot, isn't she? And who's dad? He's just an idiot. It's true. They just make fools of themselves over and over and over again, and we've lost a culture of honor. We've lost the system that God has designed for the perpetuation of his name. Do you think that's a coincidence? It's not. Another problem that we deal with is that our society is an individual society, right? You can be whatever you want to be. That's an individualist statement. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. But God says we're created with the purpose of living our life in our families, with our families. And he created that structure for that purpose. I'm not saying you can never move out of your mama's house. Leave and cleave, okay? That's a good thing. But what I am saying is everything seems to be working against us. It's built into us, I think, that we question just about every authority that we see. We often look at his authority, at least in our culture, as an enemy. Would you agree with that? Any type of authority. Think of anyone who's in authority, and I can just about guarantee you that your initial gut reaction to them is, I don't know about that one. That's a hard life for a pastor. Can I just be vulnerable with you guys for a second? I feel like in the first 5 minutes of meeting somebody, if I don't prove myself a nice guy to them, I'm in trouble. That's true. Because our culture so questions any and all forms of authority. Tim Keller talks about it this way. He says, the family isn't a place where a child can be raised anymore. The family isn't a place where a child can be raised anymore. You know what the family is? A place for only support. A place where you can only encourage and support and be behind them. And you got this. You can do it. No correcting. Just supporting. And I think that could be true a lot of times. Pop psychologists just find ways to say things that are positive. Well, sometimes we got to say negative Nancy things, don't we? It's hard to do things like that, but it's called. Our temptations are to reject the authority that God has given us. Our temptation is to reject honoring our parents. But think about it. Listen, if I've got a room full of musicians, guess what? They're just a room full of musicians until a conductor shows up. And when a conductor shows up, you know what I might have? I might have a symphony. I might. Maybe. If I've got a room full of athletes, then all I've got is a room full of athletes until a coach shows up. And when a coach shows up, you know what I might have? I might have a football team. Maybe. Especially if you're in Texas. Because they got football all over the place over there. Just saying. But it seems like today we just want to learn things the hard way. It seems like today, because of our individual nature, we want to get out of our house and slam our head into a wall about 7 times before we decide to just say, oh, they were right. That's me. And I know that that's a lot of y'all in here. Amen? Why is that? Let's look at just some statistics. If we were to just look at the absence of fathers and that effect that it has on the family, if we were to just look at that, listen, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That's 5 times the national average. 5 times. 90% of all runaway children, 90%. Of all runaway children are from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the national average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders comes from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the national average. 20 times. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from, you guessed it, fatherless homes. 14 times the national average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. God designed the system for a reason, because he knew that the best way that a child would be cared for, would be sincerely and honestly cared for, is through his family. And some of y'all have lived through this, and y'all are miracles. Y'all are miracles because you beat every single one of these statistics. And you got on the other side of it. And you fought and you made it through. Or maybe God inserted into your life someone who could be a father for you. And you made it through. The point is, we need this family relationship, don't we? We need it. We need parents, and not just their presence, but we need a respect for them, a heeding of what they have to say, an honoring of them. And our children need to see us do it. Listen, children need to see their parents honoring their parents. Children need to see fathers honoring their spouses, and children need to see fathers honoring their parents while they still can. It's crucial. If we're going to rebuild the structure of honor, this gospel honor in our communities, then we have to do these things. Teenagers, older students that are in their families, If you're the oldest in your household, then you're leading it, aren't you? Because I promise you, if you're the oldest sibling, every single other one of your brothers and sisters look at you. And they live their life based on what you do. You'll lead them off a cliff or into life. The gospel is at stake here, you guys. So we've talked about what it means. We talked about why we need it, because there's a massive crisis in the world. Now we need to talk about how. Okay, I got it. I know the things I think that I should do. I should honor my parents. I got it. I know the details of it, but I don't know how to actually do it. How do we see that our children honor us? How do we honor our parents in and of their lives? I'm just going to blow through these really quickly, because the problem is not that we don't honor sometimes. The problem is that we don't stay in the center. And here's what I mean. We should honor. Amen?
Amen.
We should honor our parents. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. That may be a South Louisiana thing. I got some friends of mine who are from up north, and they said, you say that to people? But listen, it's okay. That's a good thing. Manners are a good thing. Listen, heed what is said. Eye contact with people when they're talking about you. Got it. Parents, you got to teach these things to your children. I was convicted this week whenever I'm having a conversation with my little girls, and they're having a conversation with me while they're looking that way. I'm thinking, am I teaching them honor? I need to teach them. Parents, we need to make sure that we're caring for our parents as they're getting older and not just sloughing it off to somebody else. We get that. I think we understand those basic ideas. I think we've got the idea of manners pretty down pat in South Louisiana. But you know, the thing that I think we do miss up on is this idea of over-honor. I said we need to stay center, right? So over here is not honoring at all, right? And over here is over-honoring. And here's what I mean by over-honoring. In Asia, did you know that they actually participate in ancestor worship? They will worship the ancestors. They will actually worship their ancestors that have come before them. They will worship their spirits. They will worship who they were and what they did. It's a widely practiced thing. Now, I don't think we go that far. At least I hope we don't. Maybe we should talk afterwards. But I don't think we go that far, okay? I don't think we do. But I do think that we choose our families over God, don't we? I think we do. I think that we choose our families over our God all the time. Listen, parents, if you choose your children over God before their very eyes, do you know what you're really doing? You're subverting God to them. You're making God less to them. If you are choosing your children over God, then you are negating the very image of God in their view. You're destroying it. And in turn, what are you really doing? You're not loving your children well at all. You're loving them poorly, because they're going to go on later in life and struggle because of things like that. Are we teaching our children to love God more than they love us? Well, that hurts, doesn't it, Mom and Dad? It does. Now, when your children are tiny, you can't sit down. Tyler can't sit down with Olivia and be like, look, honey, I love you, but you need to love God more. She doesn't get that yet, right? Because she's tiny. And little babies, little girls look at their fathers, especially their fathers, as though their father is the representative of God here on this planet. It happens. It works that way. But there's a time when a transition's got to take place. There's a time when we've got to say, okay, look, let's move from there. I have to point you to Jesus. I can't just be the center of your world. It doesn't work that way. My little girl is starting to get to that phase. And that's going to be hard. But it is how I love her well. It's how I love her well. And I think parents, my wife and I were talking about something similar to this the other day. I think parents are built in with a little bit of a savior complex. Amen? Especially dads. It's true. You know what a dad loves to do? Save the day. I'm telling the truth. And some of y'all who had dads like this, you knew it was true. When your dad saved the day, you saw his chest poke out of it. He's like, that's right. I got you. I got you, baby girl. Don't worry about it. I took care of you here. Now listen. Don't get that way with your children. It's nice to save the day every now and then. Amen? But don't turn yourself into Jesus, because you will make a terrible savior for your children. A terrible savior for your children. And your children will make a terrible savior for you. We have to stay in the center. Not honoring and not over-honoring, but right here. Right here in the middle. That's a hard line to ride. Now, here's the problem, and I need y'all to listen to me a little bit. Because some of y'all that are sitting in this room right now have heard this sermon. Listen, don't lose me. Don't lose me. Just hang for a little bit longer. We'll be done. Honor your father and mother is not exactly the most fun sermon to preach, but here we are, okay? Just hold on a little bit longer. Listen, some of you guys that are sitting in this room right now, you have heard family values, okay? You have heard, that's right, we should teach our kids better. Listen, while that is a sub point, it's not the point, okay? We should teach our kids better, yes. And family values are important, yes, but they are not the end in and of themselves. If we look back at that fifth commandment, if we look back and we understand it, if we really get it, we can say, honor your father and your mother so that. That's the point. The so that is the point. It's not honor your father and your mother, period. Every commandment points us somewhere. It points us further to Jesus. It's not honor of your father and your mother, period. It's honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land, so that you may know God, so that you may sit on your mama and your daddy's lap and hear stories of God's provision for your family and for God's people, so that you can be drawn and have your heart knit together with God's heart as you grow and as you thrive, so that you can flourish, real flourishing, not worldly flourishing, not a big bank account, not nice things, but eternity. It's not just family values. You see, we got to understand it this way. The fifth commandment is not greater than the first. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is not greater than you shall have no other gods before me, even your mom and dad. The Bible tells us submit to our authorities, absolutely, but not in times that they leave the gospel. That goes for governments, that goes for preachers, and that goes for parents. If all we have is honor, obey, if that's all we've got, then we've got something broken. If family has become God and family values have become the commandment, then you have left the path of joy in your life. You've left it. It's not do this because I said so. It's do this because it's what is right, and it will draw you closer to the God of the universe. I'm not saying that family is the solution to the world's problems, okay? But I do think that if the church put the family back as one of its major priorities, man, we would see some shifts. We would see shifts in society and in culture. We would. And some of you who come from broken and hurting homes and hurting families, you know that's true. Because you know you're still dealing with stuff that you grew up with. It's hard. Family cannot be a savior. But what I am saying is that family is God's boots on the ground. It's the primary vehicle that God designed to have himself communicated. That's a big responsibility, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad, that a big responsibility? Oh yeah, it is. That's terrifying at times. But it's the calling. men are literally referred to as the priests of the household. And that's scary. But how on earth can we get this right? Okay? How on earth can we get this right? This idea of not over-honoring, not under-honoring. How on earth can we stay in the middle and in the center? We look at Jesus. We look at Jesus and we watch his life. If we go to the very first miracle that Jesus ever performed, his mama comes up to him, right? And his mama says, hey, see these empty jars? I'm gonna need you to fix this. This party's running out of wine and I'm gonna need you to handle it. And that makes some of us uncomfortable, but it's true. And Jesus says what? Woman, it is not my time yet. Now that's a little edgy, right? That's a little edgy right there, isn't it? Now, Jesus still went and later on did it, but he had a little edge to that tone. I don't want you to read in too far to that, though. We'll talk about that's another sermon, whole another sermon. Later, his mother comes trying to gather him in a crowd. Apparently, Jesus is making a fool of himself. Not really, but she thought he was. And she jumps in there. She's trying to gather him together. People are like, hey, your mom's looking for you, Jesus. That's got to be an awkward conversation. Hey, Jesus, your mom's looking for you. And Jesus says, what? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers but you? Who's my family? And Jesus even said that the gospel would split the family, turning family members against one another, didn't he? But look at the end of his life, when Jesus is hanging on a cross and his mother is standing there, I imagine weeping at his feet. She directs him to John. She says, mother, your son, your mother. He provides for her in his last moments. And he doesn't just provide for her. I was talking with my wife about this, and she pointed this out. I thought it was profound. He doesn't just provide for her, but he provides for her with the disciple who will live the longest. He takes care of his mama. Listen. How can he live that way? Because Jesus is remembering, no, the fifth commandment is not above the first. The fifth commandment does not outweigh the first. In the gospel, we see this picture, this Jesus who is perfectly balancing the honoring of his parents with his zeal for God, because he knows fundamentally something that all of us have got to know, that the gospel is on the line. It is. The gospel is communicated most effectively. It is most well perpetuated to the next generation by Christian parents to their Christian children. And if we miss that balance, then we lose one of the best ways that God intended his name to be communicated. And we can't afford to do that. Not today. Not in this culture. See, this commandment is very crucial. That's part of the reason that it falls in the place that it does. If you look at the list of the Ten Commandments, if you just think through the last four sermons that we've done, okay? Just think through the last four sermons that we've talked through. You notice that the first four commandments are all pertaining to who? They're all pertaining to God, aren't they? You'll have no gods before me. This is how you should worship me. Don't take my name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy, right? But then we get to the fifth commandment, and it starts to switch a little bit, doesn't it? It switches a little bit. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. But it's got this little caveat at the end where it says, so that you may live long in the land. So that you may essentially know God. And then, if you go to the sixth to the tenth, the commandments are talking about people's relationships to each other. Don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. See, this is why the fifth commandment is so crucial, because where it's placed in the order of the commandments is God's design for how it works. God uses the fifth commandment as a transitional point. He's saying, here's the commandments about me, 1 through 4, 6 through 10. Here's the commandments about God. Here's the commandments about your relationship of one to another. And the fifth commandment says, and here's how you get to me through man. We can't miss this. We can't miss it. It's pointing people to God through man. God established the family for a purpose, y'all. Listen. And if we are loving our family more than we are loving Jesus, if we've made the family an end in and of itself, you have lost the gospel. The family is not an end in and of itself. The family is a means by which God said, this is how I want my name communicated. This is how I want people to know of me. If we've made the family an end unto itself, we've actually lost Jesus. And we can't let that happen. But if you are loving Jesus and loving him well, then you can finally get to a place where you truly love and honor your family.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christ Church. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.